Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Van Sports Network. Good morning. Hello. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the 89th playing of the Masters.
Couldn't even give me a what is happening.
What is happening?
Jim Nance's voice.
I got a Jim Nance your ass right out of the gate, dude. What is happening? Happy Masters Thursday, everybody. We made it.
Aw, dude.
We made it.
Are you going to be here for the show?
I'm here. I'm present. I mean, there's nobody on the course quite yet. Let me see when the big
Angel
names
tee off. Cabrera's on the leaderboard.
El Pato. Him winning the Masters would be delightful and also horrific at the same time. But, you know, hey, he served his time. He's a past champion. Get his ass back in the field. What are we doing?
I'm trying to see. I couldn't remember if it was tax evasion or domestic violence for a while.
I feel like
it
was domestic violence. I feel like it was something that was a little more severe than like, oh, the guy just didn't pay his taxes.
He was imprisoned in 2021 for assaulting, threatening, and harassing his former partner.
That's what it was. Yes. Yeah. That's, you know, not supposed to do that. Not encouraged.
He also got additional time added to that charge because he also did it to his ex-girlfriend.
Would have been an interesting question. Fred Ridley is the chairman of the Masters, and he drives me nuts. One, because he has the coolest job on the planet.
Yeah.
Two, he gets to invite himself to the Masters Champions Dinner. Like, he's in the dinner. He didn't win anything, buddy. What are you doing there? Every time I see the picture of the champion, I mean, I know what he's doing there. I would do the same thing if I were him, but you didn't win. You're the chair. What are you doing in the room? He's always front and center in the picture, too. It drives me nuts. Would have been a great, he had his press conference yesterday. Don't worry, I watched it. Nothing came out of it, but I would have loved if somebody would have asked him, is there a crime somebody could commit, serve time for, as a past champion that would get them banned from ever playing in the tournament again?
Yeah, what was the...
Because Cabrera obviously didn't play when he was in prison. He got out of prison. He won the Masters. And as a former champion, you are invited back every year that you want to play. And so he's back playing in the thing now.
So let's play this out a second. What was the... Is it Oscar Pistorius?
Oscar Pistorius.
The Blade Runner?
To look at porn, Dan. Porn. Who killed his girlfriend, right? Is that what he did?
Shot his girlfriend.
Yes, in the shower.
He claims it was self-defense because he thought it was somebody breaking in his house. And then he went to prison.
Total rational story.
So if a golfer does that, because I think he is set to get out soon.
He's getting out of prison after shooting his girlfriend?
I don't think he ended up getting like that much time. Can you look that up and confirm that?
I will double check that.
I think I heard that not long ago that he might be out kind of soon.
Okay, I'll see.
Which is crazy because when we talked about that, it doesn't feel like it was that long ago, but it really was.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. No, he was released.
That's what I'm saying,
2024. He served 9 years of a 13-year sentence.
So if a golfer, let's say he wins the Masters, he's 28.
How do you kill somebody only get 9 years?
He gets out, he's 37.
Yes.
He gets back into golf.
You're still playing.
He's allowed, are they going to bring him in?
I would love to know the answer to this question.
Let's take this another step.
Because Angel Cabrera didn't kill anybody, but he went to prison for some pretty awful stuff. He's one under through two, an early birdie on number two.
So let's also take it a step further. Let's say, hypothetically, somebody finally has the wherewithal within government to unredact a name that clearly shows an individual soliciting children porn.
In a certain files list, is what you're telling me.
In files.
But.
And let's say it's a Masters winner.
There should be a line somewhere.
And he goes to prison for 6 years.
I would imagine.
And he comes out. Is he just going to be at the dinner?
I'm drawing a line right here. There's got to be a line somewhere.
You think they draw a line there?
There has to be somewhere, Augusta National. Do we have no morals, no codes?
I don't know if they do.
I mean, I was the old man yelling at clouds yesterday. I watched the par. I love the par three every year.
I had the par three on as well.
Dude, with a kid now and seeing the little kids running around and they're playing in the bunker. Like, it's just, it's delightful. There was a group of the old curmudgeon-y golf fan who was very offended yesterday.
About what?
Well, Bryson brought Kevin Hart on to be his caddy.
Yeah.
And that ruffled the curmudgeon-y feathers daughters of a lot of
Bryson
people.
Bryson doesn't have children.
I know he doesn't, but it was making it a spectacle instead of having it be about the day and the par three contest. And Kevin Hart was yelling stuff at the crowd. And this is, what is this YouTubification of the Masters, okay? Get me back to the tournament I know and love.
Where did you see this outrage?
There was outrage on social media. It was out there.
Social
media. It's in my circles, okay?
It's real.
It's in my bubbles.
Yeah.
I'm in there yelling in my living room.
What are they mad about?
Get Kevin Hart off the course.
He hit a bad shot into water and made a couple
jokes. I only want to see Frankie Fleetwood hit shots over the water. That's it. Frankie Fleetwood and Frankie Fleetwood only.
Little Scheffler.
Kevin Hart out here. This isn't about me today. No, it's not, Kevin. Stop stealing the spotlight, all
right? So guys who don't have children are just supposed to play golf with other guys who have children?
Yep, that's right. You can only hit your own shots. You can allow your girlfriend to hit a shot, not Kevin Hart.
I have a quick question for you. Are you sure? You gave me a stat yesterday, and then I watched the broadcast, and I go, I don't think his stat is right.
Ooh, what stat did I give you?
So they had Wyndham Clark was on the play-by-play.
Yeah,
he wasn't playing.
He did play. He got a hole in one, and then he was done, and then joined.
Oh, okay.
Because the whole thing was, they don't show the whole thing. They just show a portion of it.
Okay, so I missed that. So Wyndham Clark is on the play-by-play, and they give the stat, what is it? It was which person was last of these four to win the par three contest. And I believe you had said the stat that nobody that's won that has won the Masters, but every name on there, sans Wyndham Clark,
yes,
I think has won the Masters.
The year that they won the par three.
Oh,
it's
okay.
The year that you win it, nobody has ever won the par three and then won the Masters tournament.
Because it was
tournament.
Zach Johnson, it was Vijay Singh, and
a
it
lot
was
of guys,
Phil Mickelson.
So a lot of guys, will once they win the tournament, they don't care. They'll go win the par three if they do.
Gotcha.
But there is a, you know, like the Kings the other night fouling up by three with a few minutes to go.
To lose the game.
Those situations happen. If you find yourself in the lead on like the seventh hole, you hand your putter to your six-year-old kid and say, go ahead, hit four putts on this green and then we'll tap it in. Because every shot that a family member hits counts. On your score.
Are you ready to hate Jason Kelce for getting all the access?
That was the other one. The curmudgeon-y golf fan is very offended
for
right
Jason
now.
Kelce.
Jason
being on
Kelce
course?
Walking around. What is this? Okay, why are we making this too big of a deal?
It's an on-course interview at a par three contest. They also had Rory on AirPod interview.
Let me yell at a cloud, okay? Yeah. This is the Masters.
It's so funny.
89th playing. 90th playing? One of the two. I don't know. It's been around a long time.
I feel like you'd know that.
I should know that. Maybe it's 90, 89th. I can't remember.
Your food order comes today, doesn't it?
It came in yesterday, splitting it with a couple of buddies.
Oh, okay.
So I haven't dove in yet. I'll dive in today when I get home. The only frustration I've had is evidently, so like all the stuff on early in the morning is on the Masters app. That's how you can watch until a certain time. It's all, you know, we can yell about that as well. Just
that's
put
my
it on.
Only big criticism.
I get it, and I don't really push back against it, but you can watch on the Masters app. I got it on my phone. My iPad's not letting me update to the setting that I need for the updated Masters app, and it's driving me nuts.
Is your iPad old?
I think so, probably.
So they want you to buy a new iPad.
It's basically saying it's up to date at 17 point whatever, and then you go to update the Masters app, and it says you need 18 point whatever or later, and I'm like, it won't let me do it! And so now I can't watch the Masters app on my iPad.
I had somebody tell me, I want to say this was like 2 or 3 years ago, about like when you update anything with, because I'm an iPhone guy.
Yes.
If you update anything with that company, what you're doing is they frame it, and I know that there's some truth to it. They're framing it as like, oh, we're updating the software.
Of course we are.
Everything's moving more efficiently.
Yes, let's improve your device.
I had a buddy that was like, you're also giving away more privacy access in little ways, and they just don't obviously tell you that part.
Of course you are.
So I am like 9 updates behind right now. I got another one last night. It popped down and was like, would you like to update to 33.6 or whatever it is?
Right.
And I just swipe that bad boy back up.
Always block. I go Dikembe Mutombo every time it gives me the, would you like to do this? Not today.
And so I was on a golf course. I want to say it was like a few months ago. And I was with two buddies, one of them my brother-in-law. And I told them, because they were talking about a group chat. And I was like, I didn't get any of that group chat. And they're like, what? I was like, yeah. And they're like, that's why you didn't respond. I'm like, I literally don't have it. And I showed them my phone.
Did not show up.
And there was somebody in the group chat that I didn't know that was a part of it. And I said, well, it might be because I haven't updated my phone. I'm like 9 or 8 updates like behind.
I'm 2.5 years late here, buddy.
And this enraged my brother-in-law.
Ooh, not happy about
why
that.
Why would you not? Why would you do that? I go, because why would I let them? And he just, it
my
did
phone
not,
works fine. My it, tablet it, works fine.
It I made don't, no sense to him. Right. He was like calling me out. He's like, oh, fuddy-duddy Sprague. And I'm like,
yeah.
Or I'm ahead of the game. And the buddy that was with us golfing, he starts laughing. He goes, I love that. I'm kind of jealous that you do that. And I go, dude, it's great. I'm never going to update again.
I'm going against the grain, man. The big tech can't get me.
Well, I mean, if the worst thing that happens is the iPhone does not work anymore, which I know that eventually that's what will happen.
Sure, at some point it'll shut down, but that's going to take a long time, dude. You got so many updates to go through before that happens.
I'm going to go get a flip phone.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to be done with it because it's not going to go a good way with these technologies and these phones and these things.
I do the same thing usually with my phone. So eventually it'll like somehow do it automatically. And I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't want that update. But half the time there's an update on your phone, there's like 60% of the new stuff that I can't stand because I'm used to my phone working a certain way. My phone still works. And then they change the way the messages look, or they change like a certain feature.
Yeah.
It's like, this is too much of a wholesale change that I did not sign up for. I thought you were just going to make this run a little bit smoother, but you're changing the way certain key features of my phone look. I'm against that.
There's just two people that exist in our world now.
Yes.
There's really not an in-between. You're either, you love the update, and then you like Google and learn all about the new stuff.
Ooh, what buttons can I press to make my phone do this?
Right. Or you're me. You have something. You never look into like what it's capable of doing because you only use it really for three functions.
Yeah. Does my phone call work? Does my Twitter app work? And can I send a text message?
Dude,
that's about it.
And I know how I sound to a lot of people.
Occasionally,
this is me
FaceTime.
With cars.
Yes.
I'll have people like, well, can your car do this, this, this? And I go, I literally don't. I don't know. I put it in drive and I go.
Put it in the D.
Why don't you hit that button? I don't know. I don't know what that button does. It's a weird logo. Why didn't you read about it? Because I don't really care.
It got me to work and it got me home. That's all that I needed out of it. That's the only requirement I need of a car. I'm not going off-roading on the side of a mountain here. I'm just trying to get to work on time.
I'm slowly being left behind in our world, and I can feel it, and I don't really care. I'm like, okay, cool.
You know what you sound like? You sound like somebody who would have yelled about Kevin Hart yesterday.
No,
welcome to the club, buddy. Welcome to the club.
I do think Kevin Hart is a little oversaturated, but I did think it was funny that Bryson looks like he's his dad. I mean, he's half his size.
There was a clip. He hit his putt for him on 9, and he used Bryson's putter. And Bryson's putter's not like he doesn't anchor his putter, but he's got
it's
a little bit.
It's the same size. All his clubs are the same size,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's got a longer one that kind of goes up his arm a little bit when he putts. And Kevin Hart was trying to hold it like a normal putter, and it looked like it was anchored against his chest.
Like
and it
child.
Was just like like if I handed my putter to Teddy Ballgame and he's out there trying to hit one, like, dude, that does not look comfortable. And he missed the putt, and he didn't hit the green on 9. So a disappointing day for Kevin Hart.
I do have some Masters stuff on my show sheet. I got an interesting thing I want to talk to you about with the Masters.
Let's do it.
I want to ask you because you brought it up. I can't tell if I think it's incredibly nerdy, dweeby, or kind of like interesting and cool that Bryson is playing with a 5-iron that he made with a 3D printer.
I can't stand him. I can't.
Oh, really?
I cannot stand him. Just play a normal golf club.
I figured that
get out of the laboratory and play golf. He's doing that. He wants to make his entirely own irons. Like, he wants to make his whole set.
Well, he has to get it approved, I believe, still, if it hasn't been already.
It's got to be, you got to get approval from the different governing bodies of golf. But he brought a 3D printed 5-iron yesterday and played with it. I think it was the club that Kevin Hart did not hit the green with, and he was carrying it around. He's claiming he's going to do it for every club in his bag. Some of his stuff is just too over the top for me. It's too showman-y. Like, just, I get it. I grow the game, sure. Can we just play some golf at some point, Bryson?
Is he sponsored? Who's his sponsors? Is he a Bridgestone guy?
So all the club manufacturers hate him because he constantly complains about the clubs and sends them back, and it doesn't do this, and it doesn't do. They hate working with him.
Oh, and that's
so he
why
got to the point
this?
Of like, well, I'm going to make my own clubs then. And then he joked at his presser the other day. He was like, well, I guess I'll just complain to myself if I don't hit the green on certain shots.
I was going to say, you're going to have to
remake
this.
Because I'm the one. His apparel sponsor is Reebok. And I don't technically know what clubs are in his bag right now because he's constantly bouncing around to different club manufacturers.
I'm going to look this up. I think he's a Bridgestone guy.
He might be. I don't know.
He's in a couple of these commercials.
Yeah, he shows up from time to time. I always get him because there's TaylorMade ones out there. There's Bridgestone. Ping has some Victor Hovland in their commercials. I always lose track of which guys are in which. Hey, Colin Morikawa walking out to the range. He's going to try and give it a go today.
He's going to go.
Tight back. Shoot him up.
The Kalshi commercial that he's doing with the alien is a bizarre one.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Can I gamble on seeing aliens?
Yes.
What?
What are we talking about here?
I'm not seeing.
Yeah, I don't know If it's a,
I'm not seeing.
Is
like
he going
who it
like
is.
Will Ferrell in Talladega Nights? He's just sponsored by me and a cougar. That's what's
Cobra
on his back.
And
Cobra,
Puma.
Cobra, yeah, Cobra.
Cobra's got good stuff. I like Cobra.
I'm not anti Cobra. I'm okay with Cobra.
I think Cobra's got some good irons.
His Reebok move was unique. I think he's the only guy that has Reebok sponsorships on the PGA
Didn't
Tour.
Didn't Reebok just sign a basketball player? I'm forgetting who it is.
Darius Acuff.
Yeah, that's what
it
is.
That's what it was.
They gave Darius Acuff the bag.
And he gets compared to Iverson, and now we need honeycomb shoes.
That'd be badass.
Bring them back.
I'm all in.
That would be a good look.
Look, I don't wear Reebok, but I do love athletes that are willing to go to these kind of slight off brands to create something.
Yeah,
I think that's really cool and
trying
unique.
Trying to carve their way back into the apparel game. If you came out, like that was the last time I think I owned Reeboks was the honeycombs.
The AIs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it the questions or the answers? Maybe both. I can't remember.
I think it was the answers.
I think
it?
I had both of the AI shoes when I was a kid.
No, I think they are the questions.
Was it the? He had two of them. There was the question and the answer.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if they both had honeycomb or if just one of them.
I'd say it was the questions had the honeycomb, but I might be wrong on that one. It's been a hot minute.
It's been a while since I've worn Reeboks.
So, happy Masters Day, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Dirt's wearing the polo. The food is here. He's not going to share it this year because...
And I believe, Blake, based off the pictures, it is the questions.
It's the questions?
Yeah.
It's the questions that got the honeycomb.
Yes, okay. You are correct.
Yeah. Well, Casey is in, as you can hear and you can see if you're on the YouTube. Swag is taking a personal day. And so Casey coming in and hanging out with us today. We have a loaded show. We have Matt Miller, we hope, at 8:45.
Fingers crossed it happens today.
Unless ESPN cancels on us, Matt Miller will join us. We'll talk some NFL draft coming up at 8:45. Our beloved Blazers played last night with a shorthanded Spurs, and you would have never known it with the way the game went.
Could have had Carter Bryant.
Yeah.
Could have drafted him.
Yeah, big game Friday.
It's kind of funny when
he
hit a big three, and then they panned over to the Blazer bench, and Young Hansen was sitting next to the assistant coaches.
Had to trade out.
And I know that he hasn't been that good this year, but I was like, that was pretty perfect that happened against us on that
night.
Wait,
who hasn't been good?
Carter Bryant hasn't had, like,
they didn't give him a lot of – he just started playing, like, a month ago.
Because they don't need him.
Pretty good for him.
They're the 2 seed in the West. They have not needed him this year.
He's like a younger Tamani Kamara.
Yes.
I think we could use another Tamani Kamara.
Also, how about drafting a rookie point guard that can play right away in the NBA?
Wow.
Must be a good feeling.
That team's good.
He's already better than our guy.
Obviously.
We're in year three.
Our guy missed a layup yesterday, and I went, what? Yeah. How did you miss that?
Really athletic, though, real quick. Good burst. Boom.
Good work ethic.
Yes, he does.
You know,
he's got
that going for him.
He's grinding.
A loaded show. Let's get it going. 617, Dirt and Sprague. We start on 105.1, The Fan.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
And I'll turn right back. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. 6:22 on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, and YouTube. Good morning, and shout out to all the podcast listeners as well. We love you, even when you catch us late.
Good job getting YouTube up running, CJ. Good job today. Wasn't ready to go. We got it up for a segment. Impressive work. Impressive.
Thank you, kind sir.
So very quickly, I have a follow-up to something that happened on the program yesterday.
Yeah, what happened yesterday?
Somebody sent me a graphic. Not a graphic, but an image with information on it. All right, would you like me to read it?
I would love to find out.
Okay. Vanilla ice cream.
We're doing this again. That was one of the first texts we got today, one of our P1s. How's that ice cream poll question looking, guys?
People who prefer vanilla are impulsive and take risks. They're also emotionally expressive, independent, and set high goals.
Okay.
Chocolate ice cream. Chocolate lovers are flirtatious, charming, and dramatic.
Yeah.
If you are one of them, you are also joyful, artistic, and love life. Chocolate fanatics can also be gullible and easily tempting.
Yeah, sounds about right. I think it fits. It's what it looks like when you read the horoscope and you're like, oh my God, this is talking to me right now. That sounds exactly like me and my personality.
I think I believe this now.
Yeah, I think I buy into that chart. Whoever sent that, well done. That sounds spot on.
We did have some people commenting on that, by the way, that I saw today from yesterday. One listener said, Dirt's take was horrible.
Thank you.
Sprague's take was confusing. What is the difference between frozen and partially melted ice cream?
Oh, that's it. Come on, man.
It all tastes the same. Sounded like he was grasping at straws to support his vanilla take.
No.
Just say it, Sprague. Vanilla is better.
Here's what I will say. Your take was dumb, but you were spot on about the frozen, partially frozen portion of it.
Yeah, the slightly glossy melted look.
The best way to explain this is if you get like a little tub of Ben and Jerry's ice cream, you got a little pint in your freezer. Mm-hmm. If you take it out, like, hey, it's a Saturday night, let's get wild. I'm gonna eat some ice cream. Let's watch a movie, babe. And you take it out of the freezer. Do you eat it right away or do you let it sit?
I
always let it. I might even be willing to say we're at like a 25-30 minute mark of the Johnson household of sitting out on the counter. You put it on a paper towel so it's not going to drip everywhere.
Right.
And then you get it, and it's still obviously ice cream. It is still frozen, but the top of it, you kind of scoop easier. I don't like when I'm diving into the pint of the ice cream, and I'm like, it's like you try to cut into rock.
Then you're flinging ice cream out of the tub.
And you're just
accident.
Getting a little speck of it because I can't get my spoon fully in there. Right. You got to let it be partially melted.
That's a good point. To which I would say to that, I understand why it would maybe sound confusing. Let me put it this way. I worked at a custard shop years ago in high school. I like custard more than I like ice cream.
Mm.
And custard is a in-between of ice cream and soft serve, you know,
the texture?
The texture, thank you. I don't know why I was going to say
context.
Was it
interesting, custard and frozen yogurt, like Froyo?
Well, it's creamier. Custard's...
Creamier?
Yeah, okay. Way more creamier.
Okay.
It's delicious.
Custard's I don't know if I've ever had custard. I probably have. I don't know if I have. It's a word that I know, but I don't have
Ask
a lot
your
of,
family in Kansas City. It's really popular
it's down
big
there. Out in the Midwest. Yeah. Is that why they're so fat over there?
Well, that's partially the reason.
Let more cream!
So yesterday, Oklahoma City clinched the one seed.
They did. They beat the Clippers. They helped us, technically.
I'm worried that Denver and San Antonio are going to beat the hell out of each other, and the Thunder are just going to roll to the West Finals and not really have much pushback.
I mean, that seems to be the way it's shaping up right now. With Luka out, has there been any update on his ability to play, potentially?
No. Yeah. I think the report I saw from Shams 2 days ago on SportsCenter was something to the effect of, you know, if they can have a deep run...
Then maybe.
Yeah, because he has no chance he's coming back for the first round.
And, like, even if Houston wins that series, I would tend to believe it's partially because Luka's not available, and then I'm not giving Houston any chance of pushing Oklahoma City. KD maybe steals you a game, maybe gets hot, but, like, from top to bottom of that roster, there's no chance they're knocking OKC off. But on the other side of that, I agree with the take that I don't want OKC to have a cakewalk to the conference finals and then get to face a team who's probably coming off a tough series. That Wemby Jokic, like, I didn't watch it because I was on vacation, but I saw the highlights when I got back. It was like 137, 134.
Game of the year.
Jokic hits the game winner over Wemby, like a fadeaway over a 9-foot-tall dude. Like,
Castle was awesome in that game.
Yeah, like, so that's the other side of it that I'm with you on OKC because I can't stand him. But getting Wemby versus Jokic probably for a long series would be a lot of fun in the second round.
Yeah, I'm just going to...
OKC's going to win the title. Just go in with that thought process.
You really don't believe there's an East team that can beat them?
I mean, I can't say that because Indiana pushed them to 7 last year. But would I gamble on it? No. You never say never, but I'm not picking against them.
Yeah, the Tatum Celtics
Who's the
thing.
Team in the East?
I mean, there's four of them. There's only four.
Do we trust Detroit? Is Cade Cunningham going to play?
Oh, he played last night.
Okay, so he's back in the lineup. Yeah. So that's good. But even when he was healthy, they had a hard time against some of the upper echelon teams in the NBA.
The good thing for them is they lost him for 11 games, I think, is the total number that he missed.
They were like 7-4, I want to say, or 8-3 or something like that.
They were pretty good in that stretch, and it kind of like creates a scenario where others have to step up and play better.
No doubt.
And I just kind of wondered.
Did they beat any good teams in that stretch would be my question. Because there's a lot of really bad teams in the NBA right now that literally anybody could beat.
I looked up, by the way, the bottom below play-in teams in the West last year. Only two teams had sub-34 wins.
Yeah, and you got four
this
of them
year,
or
you
five
have
of
all
them?
Of them. Yeah, all of them. Or they're 26 or worse.
Yeah.
So in that stretch without K, they lost to Oklahoma City in overtime. They blew that game.
Okay.
They beat Minnesota.
Okay.
They won at Philly.
All right.
They won at Minnesota.
Yeah, that's not all bad.
They beat the Lakers.
Okay.
Golden State.
So, yeah, that's not... I mean, it's not like they just played Utah, Sacramento, Memphis, Washington, Brooklyn, Chicago.
Yeah.
Because that was the only question I had about their...
They barely lost to the Hawks in overtime, and that was when the Hawks were in the middle of their, like, 10-game win
streak. Winning a bunch of games in a row. I have questions about them. I'm rooting for Detroit to do it. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Boston bringing Tatum back in, like they've been a good team all year, but what percentage is he at come playoff time? Because you're going to need him to play at a high level.
Yeah.
And New York's kind of been the same team every year. Like they got to the conference finals and damn near won it last year, so I don't put it past them to get back to that point. And then Cleveland, we'll see how the Harden thing works come playoff time.
I have a ticket on Cleveland to win the East.
We know what James Harden's history in the playoffs is.
Don't feel great.
It's not been very good, but yeah. You never know. You never say never because Sam Darnold was done and then he won a Super Bowl. So maybe James Harden turns it around this year.
I'm going to get to a Masters thing coming up at 6:45. We'll talk about our beloved Blazers losing. We got a Magic Cap Thursday. I'm back with Did Dirt Call It? Next on The Fan. Well, the Blazers lost to the shorthanded Spurs last night in pretty convincing fashion. As no Wimby, no Castle, no problem. Didn't matter.
Controlled the entire game, too. Wasn't like it was. At least we didn't blow a lead this time. We got that going for us.
Yeah, we got that going for us.
We just lost from start to finish yesterday, right out of the gate. Let's dig ourselves a hole and not climb out of it.
You know, the good news is the Clippers are coming in playing awful basketball. They're terrible right now.
Yeah,
so
they can still very well get the 8 seed.
I finally did see a lot of the reaction you were talking about at the Masters with the Kevin Hart stuff. I think this is hilarious.
It's golf, right? I mean, that's the way golf crowds will react to golf crowd things. This is the way we operate. We're old. We want to yell. Let us yell, okay?
There's something about the Masters I want to talk about with you. Coming up at 6:45.
Okay.
So, something you were on a little bit before the playoff game, and then I think it reared its ugly head, is what a certain NFL franchise is going to choose to do with its starting quarterback.
Oh.
And you get this from time to time. There is a report out from ESPN.
ESPN!
That the Houston Texans are going to pick up the fifth-year options of Will Anderson and C.J. Stroud.
Yes, they are.
Now, the reporting is basically these are precursors to working out extensions.
So the way it usually works, pick up the option, then you can get a deal done, but you get the fifth year of the rookie contract.
Yes.
And then if you sign the extension, it doesn't kick in until year six.
Which for these two guys, that's a lot of money, that final year of the rookie contract.
Yes, it is.
And so the reporter on ESPN is saying this is leading to an extension. He then writes a sentence that I think, if I was doing a show in Houston, it'd be like almost my entire show.
Like, excuse me, what?
And it's basically the team is prioritizing Will Anderson's contract extension over C.J. Stroud's.
Yeah, no S, dude. One guy is a defensive player of the year candidate every year in the NFL, and the other guy just had the worst postseason quarterback game we've seen since Kerry Collins threw the Super Bowl.
No S, but it is wild to see a team basically say, our linebacker, edge rusher, more important than our starting quarterback for contract stuff.
Who's been in the playoffs all 3 years of his career. Oh, and by the way, won a playoff game every year he's been
there. Every single time they go, they
every
win.
Year they've won a playoff game, and they're like, yeah, you know what, we'll get that one done now. How about we see 2 months of football next year before we start working that deal out?
So you remember, is it Casario? Is he the one that's
the GM there? Yeah,
right?
Nick Casario. I believe so.
He had a weird – he's been kind of weird about this, and he's been dancing around it because picking up an option is one thing. And look, I'm not going to do the Tommy Lloyd thing where I tell you, I think this is going to happen. And then the minute we're off the show, the thing I said that's going to happen doesn't happen.
He's not in North Carolina right now?
No,
is that what you're telling me? What happened?
No, he is not. But he's also not the second highest paid coach in basketball, so
maybe he
should have left North Carolina.
Come on down, Mike Malone.
Now, that being said, it's just something that's – fun and fascinating to follow in the NFL, and I'm not a Houston Texan fan because the general manager keeps saying C.J. Stroud's our quarterback in the year 2026. Any suggestion otherwise is ridiculous.
Then why don't you give him the deal, Nick?
And they very well could. I mean, if they give him a five-year extension.
Disaster, in my mind. To give him an extension right now would be a disaster.
Well, let me ask you, coming off of the Tua and the Kyler Murray do you think teams are learning, or do you think teams are still going to continue to be dumb with the way they dole out money at that position?
I would hope. Look, there's no chance that every team is going to learn. That's an impossibility. There will still be dumb teams who make rash decisions and decide to give out a contract before it's necessarily been earned. I would hope, at least, though, that some teams have learned that there's no need. Like, you just. So he's going into year four of his rookie contract. The reason they picked up the fifth-year option, I think, is because you have to make that designation now. You don't get to wait another year and then pick it up. So you have to make the call now whether we want the guy for year five.
Then you get a whole
year. I don't blame him
negotiate.
At all, right? Yeah. Get him year five, that's fine. You got two more years of C.J. Stroud under contract. You don't have to sign him to an extension right now. Mm-hmm. There was nothing in the CBA that says, okay, now you have to give him a six-year, $200 million or whatever the deal would be. That you don't have to do it. Giving him an extension off of the postseason that he had and the end of the year that he had would be a disaster because you just pointed to two guys who got the deal before they probably deserved it and the team ended up regretting it. Now, he's different in the fact that he's won playoff games every year. He was great his rookie season. He regressed in year two and they won because Herbert threw four interceptions in the game. Mm-hmm. And this past year, no offense to our beloved CJ over there, like they played a team who the Steelers
shouldn't have made it.
They shouldn't have made it. They were not a playoff team.
Like, who didn't one cash that bet, by the way?
One
Everybody
of these is not like
them.
The other. And yeah. How many defensive touchdowns did they have in the game? I feel like Rodgers threw a pick six. There was a scoop and score fumble. Like it wasn't like CJ Stroud lit him up like a Christmas tree and then he imploded in New England. And without that, they're in the AFC title game because they should have probably won that game. Their defense was good enough. So giving him an extension now would be a disaster, mark my words. And I'm going to actually give the Texans the benefit of the doubt. I think they're smart enough to not give it to him this offseason. Make him earn it for one more year. If he plays good, looks solid through the year, there's not some of these lingering questions, you get a little bit better around him, by all means, give him an extension next offseason. It has not gone well the last 2 years for him.
Yeah, he definitely has a feel, I think, going into next season, despite getting to a divisional round again.
All 3 years.
God, it's such a weird spot to be in, but it feels like next year for Houston might be their... We're going to make a decision on this in terms of going forward.
Yeah.
And to your point, under contract for two seasons, they're going to get a deal done with Will Anderson 100%.
Like, now you should. He's an elite player. Sign him now.
And they get a more team-friendly deal for Stroud that makes us go, well, if it doesn't work, that's not really that bad. And if, hey, he's just been what he's been.
Yeah, give him the Darnold deal, then I'm all for it. But is he going to take the Darnold deal?
Well,
the last
not.
Thing that Houston wants is to be burned by yet another quarterback.
Yeah.
They've been burned by four quarterbacks in just my lifetime.
That's a really good point by you.
They've had a hard time with that position. Even when they find him.
Yeah.
They had one who was supposed to be at the top of his game and the top of the sport for
the
a long time to come.
The last one was like... Yeah. CJ's is just... Is it the mental side of it? Is it the pressure? Like, what is it? The one before him was,
CJ Stroud hasn't had a healthy receiving core in a playoff game yet.
Totally fair.
Nico Collins has been his healthiest receiver, and what happened? Nico Collins gets knocked out with a concussion.
You're
doesn't
not,
play against New
it's totally
you're
fair.
You're not wrong to point that out. I'd also highlight some of those interceptions he threw. I was like, what
decision
are
making
you doing?
Was just horrendous. Like the one where he threw the pick
rattled.
Six.
He seemed very rattled
on the play action pass. Like there can be a combination of both because what you're pointing out is factual. And his offensive line has not been good the last 2 years either. And they've been decimated by injuries as well.
And they very much loaded up on the offensive line this offseason.
Yes, they did. So they're trying to improve there. Maybe he gets out the receivers. Maybe it clicks.
Do you think this is it for him?
Like I would say it should be, probably. Not as a starter, but like if I'm Houston, I'm giving it one more year. And if he's 19 touchdowns, 8 picks, 64% completion percentage again next year.
The numbers are very similar.
Hello,
why
Pittsburgh.
Would you give it?
Like, come on down. There's a team out there that'll be desperate for a quarterback that needs a guy, and they'll trade you something, and he's going into the fifth year, and they can work out a deal with him. Like,
do you like living in a world where you're just taking the leftovers of somebody's quarterback every year? It's wild to me that your franchise, as great and historically awesome as they've been...
Will Howard's going to be your guy.
They've just taken a decision and a route post-Ben of like, we don't really care. We're cool being a wild card team or winning our division when it's crappy. I just don't understand it.
Hey, they took Kenny Pickett in the first round. Don't you forget.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett in the first round.
Raise your hand. Come on.
He was wearing two gloves.
Yeah.
He played at Pittsburgh.
His fake slide in the ACC championship really just sent
should've been flagged for that.
He should have been. Yeah, I should have taken his head off.
They made
the
rule for reasons.
It's the Kenny Pickett rule.
I tend to believe that you're with me on this because Steeler fans have texted in throughout the football season. They're like, yeah, dude, I'm so tired of it. Like, stop doing the old quarterback thing. Stop telling me Mason Rudolph's good enough. Like, we know what this is. Feels like it's a cash grab. You guys just want us to go to games, buy the merch, and then be totally happy with a wild card loss. Right.
Again, Will Howard or C.J. Stroud? Either one's an Ohio State quarterback. Ohio State quarterback's not great, but C.J. Stroud just happens to be the best historically.
Ah, there you go.
The C.J. Stroud stuff is interesting because he had the famous Caleb Williams moment after the Monday night game or whatever it was when they beat the Bears, and Caleb got his head taken off, and he big bro'd him on the field. Was like, hang with Caleb's like, I want nothing to do with this right now. And he was hugging him, telling him to hang in there. And now, who would take C.J. Stroud over Caleb Williams right now? Anybody? Bueller?
Would you find a Texan Bueller? Fan that would?
No, you shouldn't. I mean, I'm sure there's some dumb ones that would. Like
their
the Blazer fans
be,
who say Scoot Henderson's untradeable. Those fans exist. But if you're a rational-minded person, there's nobody alive that would take him over Caleb Williams right now.
Their argument would be, well, Caleb's offensive line is basically in Houston. How'd that go for Caleb, huh? I think that's what their argument would be.
I would argue each of the last 2 years, Caleb's been better than C.J. Stroud, including his rookie season when he was up and down. The numbers were better, so he didn't have his offensive line also sucked that year. And then also the famous – we can pull the clip if you want. After his rookie year, he was asked his top five quarterbacks in the NFL. He was on a podcast, and he put himself in the top five.
Do you remember that?
It's like me, Jalen Hurts, and you just like you go through his top five. You're like, dude.
How many are not in
talk
the top
about
five
the,
anymore?
The chocolate vanilla question from yesterday? Like, I'm out. Just from that interview, I don't want anything to do with you.
If I told you you had to go Jalen Hurts or C.J. Stroud, who do you choose?
Jalen Hurts.
Really?
I think I would.
Who's cheaper?
Let's say they're the same price.
Same price?
Jalen Hurts.
Mm. I don't feel good about that one, though.
Don't feel great.
Neither does Philly. That happened when I was out.
I know.
Hey, where dirt was right, Jalen Hurts might be on the way out in Philly.
Yeah, we'll see.
You know, this guy's kind of hard to work. That's when you get the rumblings behind the scenes. All of a sudden, he's hard to work with, a.k.a. he sucks.
When you have, like, 15 people in an organization leaking stuff, yeah. That tells me all I need to know about what they think about you in the
Float
building.
Those balloons up into the air, see how people react.
We'll get into the Blazers coming up at the top of the hour. Coming up next, the elimination of this in sports makes something even more special than it already is, and we'll tell you what that is next on 105.1 The Fan.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we have a lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. So the Masters is underway. Course looks beautiful. It's dialed.
Hello, friends. Perfect weather all
perfect
weekend.
Conditions. And I was reading an article yesterday that I was like, okay, I'll click this. I'm interested.
Yeah.
So it's everybody's dream that doesn't play golf, I think, that likes golf or loves golf or watches golf or at least watches the Masters to go to Augusta.
Yes.
Right? You've had the experience.
It's incredible.
It's a awesome thing that many will never be able to have. But there's some that don't enter into the lottery pool for the badge that are like, you know what? I'm not going to play that game. I'll buy from somebody that's going to sell.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, this is interesting. So I was reading this on Yahoo about how basically the Masters have completely annihilated and eliminated the secondary market for Masters tickets.
Yep, if you resell them, you are in absolute hot water.
So here's a story. There's a story on Yahoo about a patron. He'd wanted to go to the Masters for many years. And he's in the gate line. He had purchased the Masters badge. He's in the line. They scan his badge. It beeps. And they ask him to step to the side of the line. He's very confused. He has no idea what's going on. Security then ushers him into a side room. They sit him down and they asked him questions about how he got this. He said the badge had been gifted and had been purchased off of eBay, and the seller had unwisely posted a photo of the entire badge, which thus the Augusta National representatives are scanning the internet, and any time a badge is put online,
they got like the CIA behind the scenes there. It's insane.
They have access to the photo, and they then eliminate the access of the badge that is sold. So this person gets this gift, goes to Augusta, thinks, my God, I'm going to live my dream.
Waiting in line, standing there.
He's at the gate.
Here we go. Nope.
And it's a really interesting read of how they were tired of finding out that people were buying all these badges, because you buy it for $100, You sell him for 30 to 40 times on the secondary market.
It's insane.
And so they've eliminated secondary ticket badge purchasing. Anybody at Augusta now is legitimately somebody that wanted to go and entered the lottery pool.
It is one of the things that I love about the tournament is that kind of stuff. I think the secondary ticket market is horrendous. It only hurts the consumer. We live in an era where bots and AI chat things are allowed to go online and buy tickets in bulk and then resell them for a profit. How many times do we get people who wait in queue for a concert ticket or a game ticket and they can't get it because these bots had already bought them up? Like, I love that the Masters does that, and it's one of their ways of fighting against some of the modern things that drive us nuts about trying to attend a sporting event. Like, this and combined with the idea of no cell phones, where it sounds old school, it sounds fuddy-duddy, it was the coolest thing about being at the tournament, because whether we want to acknowledge it or not, we're all addicted in some way, shape, or form to our phone. If you're at a place like Augusta, you're going to be, you want to take pictures and videos. Like, it's a once in a lifetime thing. Mm-hmm. And to not have the ability to do that, like, we stayed when we went in a little clubhouse off the 10th hole because my brother got sweet access. And we just left our phone. I didn't even take it with me, because if you take it out, you can get in trouble. We just left it in that little, like, we had a little locker cubby that we could use. We put our phones in there, didn't have it on me all day. And it was such a weird, freeing feeling, a throwback of, like, you're just walking around. You're exactly where your feet are the entire time. And so this kind of stuff can get a little too extreme. There was one guy who went viral, and I don't know the validity of the backstory, but he basically said, I won tickets to a practice round. I've been trying to go to the Masters my entire life. I won 5 tickets. I'm taking my wife, parents, like, he was taking, rented a place to stay. And then, like, a week before he was scheduled to go, he got a call to say his tickets were invalid because he was accused of trying to sell them or they had been repurchased. And he was like, I didn't do it. And so he's like, I'm flying to Augusta to contend my case. Damn. I'm going. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get in.
Yeah.
So, getting
in?
I didn't see the follow up. I just saw it was a tweet that went viral. Wow. And I don't know if the validity behind it. So maybe he was making it up. Maybe he actually did buy him on secondary market. I'm not sure. But I just, little stuff like that I love, dude. Yeah. Like, this, it reminds me, we went to the Garth Brooks concert years ago, and they had a thing. He had a thing where every ticket in the building is the same price because he didn't want these crazy resales or people spending an insane amount of money. And so it pissed me off because I got the same ticket price that you did, and I was sitting in the nosebleeds and you were down on the floor.
And you love country.
And I wanted to go to the show, and you were just like, hey, I'm going to hop in line, see if I can get a ticket. But I
literally did it as a spite
purchase.
You did. And
you
worked.
You got on the floor, and you were like 8 rows from the stage. And you made me buy a ticket, you bastard. I'll never forgive you for that. But it was like,
I spent the money.
Come on! The good of your heart, give me a ticket for free. But I love that idea of, like, we're not charging different amount for the top of the building and the bottom of the building. And I love that the Masters does this. If you get a ticket, go to the event.
Yeah.
And if you don't want the ticket, then you shouldn't be able to sell it. You shouldn't have got one in the first place.
We have to get to the second hour. I quickly say, I agree with mostly everything you're saying. I'm okay with them eliminating the secondary market. As somebody, though, that has dabbled in the secondary market in a very questionable manner,
mm-hmm.
there is an excitement to buying a secondary ticket that I'm going to miss.
Like, are we talking like a scalper out front of a stadium?
Kinda, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's an element.
I've done that before. Those people still exist at sporting events.
I know, but, like, I did this at Disneyland.
Oh.
So my wife and I went years and years ago before we had kids. And we're down in L.A., and we didn't want to spend full price. And somebody had told us they sell passes to Disneyland off one of the streets, like, right near Disneyland.
Like, I got a day pass, and I'll sell it
to
you.
So you go on Craigslist, back then, was the way you would do it. And so we went on Craigslist, and literally this guy messages it, and he goes, hey, meet me at this hotel in this room. And we go to the hotel, and it's, like, the most shady-looking hotel. I'm like, if I'm not out in 5 minutes,
I'm
you come up, or you call the cops, because I've been murdered.
Get the hell out of here.
Knock on the door. The windows are closed. Someone goes, who is it? And I'm like, call about the ticket. And he goes, okay. Unlocks the door. I come in. It's literally an empty room with a fold down table. A guy that's the same character from one of the Friday movies, that a Holy Moly's Donut Shop guy, like, hey, buddy, ticket. And I went up. I gave him $50. I got the ticket.
That's a bargain for a day,
dude,
right?
We scanned the ticket. This happened to me. They put me to the side.
Uh-oh.
It came up. And they basically accused me of doing it. I had to double down, put my heels down. And
I did
say,
not do this.
This was a gift. And they were questioning me. And they're like, they finally said, you can go in, but you don't get the crossover pass. You can't go to California Adventure.
Okay, you got to stay in this.
So I had to stay in Disneyland for the one day. They let me in, but I almost didn't get let in.
They flagged it. You got flagged. Pulled to the side.
Yeah, but I got in.
Extra security. Get the wand out.
The wand.
I'm going to wand you. I'm not letting you in here.
That was one of the hardest lies I've ever had to do because I was yelling at the lady.
You stand 10 tones down. What's the worst thing that happened to you? You're not getting arrested, right?
Top flight security of the world, Chris.
Had to do it, man. I had to do it.
And it worked out for you.
It did work out. But
you should throw your hat in the ring every year for the – it's fun because there's a deadline you put your name in.
Are you in it every year?
Every year I put my name in.
I don't even know where to go to put my
name
in.
I put my name in. I put my wife's name in. I put my kid's name in. I put – like I for all of them. Every event, par three, practice round, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And they just randomly – it's a lottery,
random
right?
draw. Completely random draw. You get an email that says, congratulations, you've been awarded tickets or sorry this year.
How many tickets do you get?
I think you can request, if I remember correctly, it's been over a year since I've done it, because it's somewhere in the middle point of the year where it happens, where I think you can request a certain amount and they can either approve or give you a certain amount, depending on how many submissions you put in.
How much is it?
That I actually don't know, because you just put the request in and all the ticket prices are the same.
Because this story says $100.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
And then the people will sell them for like $60,000.
That sounds about right. I mean, it's one of those for me, like if you win the lottery, I don't care how much they cost.
Well,
you just throw in your hat in the ring and then you get awarded the tickets and then you pay.
Yeah, it's brilliant what they've done business wise. We'll get back into that in the the next couple hours. But loaded second hour, the Blazers lose to the shorthanded Spurs. We talk about that kickoff hour number two next on The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.